This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Are you tired of the same old conversations? Do you often find yourself struggling to know what to say? Are you over discussing the news, sports ball, or the weather? It's time to put boring discussions behind you by leaving a copy of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns on your coffee table, your toilet, your local library, mother's car, boss's office desk, or that person you really liked's bed instead.
What the hell is this?
Oh, that? Why, it's just a book about how the modern costume of a clown is a caricature of ancient giants and modern demons.
Stay away from my children.
This is a conversation you can't wait to have.
My family used to think I was crazy, but thanks to The Nephilim Look Like Clowns, they know I'm crazy.
The Nephilim Looks Like Clowns. It's no laughing matter. That advert never gets old to me. It's still as funny today as it was about a week and a half ago when I first made it within 6 hours. How are we all doing, everyone? Come on in, sit on down. It's time for a truth or therapy session. It's been a while. I think it's been about 3 weeks since I managed to do one of these. I think my last guest was Chris from the BioCharisma podcast. And so since then, I've been busy going on to many other podcasts myself, you know, talking to people. Sharing the tumultuous news that the little season, maybe where we're living, and also talking about the Nephilim and the clowns, as you just see in the background here. So I've been a busy guy all over the place. I haven't had time to do my own podcast, which should be every Sunday, which is this, the Truther Therapy Sessions. Now, I did have a guest lined up for tonight, Vinny B. He's been a regular on the channel. I like to get him on and just go have a bit of a back and forth with ideas, and he usually has a lot to share every time he comes on. But unfortunately, he's had to back out last minute due to some background personal stuff, which is nothing major, just he needs to get some sleep. It's probably the easiest way to describe why he can't be here tonight. So I have decided, well, I guess I'm just going to have to do this solo, just like I used to do in the olden days. Lately, over the last year, I've been trying to do this with this podcast. I've been trying to actually get guests to come on and share their stories about how it is they woke up, the processes to dealing with discovering the truth, and the pitfalls and, you know, the crests and the waves and then the dips that go with waking up, for lack of a better phrase, and for finding the truth for the first time. And it's interesting because I'm trying to get like podcasters on who have invited me onto their podcast. Because these are people who listen to all sorts of crazy things on a daily basis from all sorts of different sources, you know. And they usually have a lot to share because they've kind of heard and seen it all. And it's always interesting to find out the personal journeys each of these people have gone through. But what I used to do before I had guests, it was just me talking to you guys, seeing how you guys are doing. Because at the end of the day, that's what this really is. It's a truth or therapy session. It's a way to help you guys just deal with it. Because it's hard. It's hard, isn't it? When you wake up for the first time, it's overwhelming. Your mind is full of this information that you've just been gorging on for like a month straight, you know, one thing after another, as one connection fires off to the next, and you start just seeing the levels of control we're under. And the first thing you want to do, isn't it, is go to your loved ones and your friends and family and try and share the information with them in the hopes that they can be saved in a way too, you know, and to see the truth and to know what's really going on so they won't be deceived anymore. And in our naivety, we think they're going to say thank you. But that's not what happens, is it? We all find that they spit in our face, reject us, tell us not to come round anymore or not to see their kids. And before you know it, you're the weird uncle no one wants to talk to at Christmas. And that's kind of why you've got to be careful. And I've made a series called Tips for Truthers, which has kind of given all these little tidbits of information I've picked up along the way, these bits of advice to avoid situations and scenarios like that as best we can. But I'm talking from experience. I made the mistakes. You know, that's how I know what we need to do to try and be better with the information. I think the most valuable tip I have was basically to realize that the truth is a weapon. Okay. And people don't like it when you point weapons in their face. They tend to get a little bit defensive. And I think we can forget that sometimes. So we need to be very, very careful with how we handle the truth. We should treat it like it's a live, armed and cocked gun, you know, ready to go. And we definitely should be careful about how we plan on sharing the bullet of truth with these people. I don't know. The metaphor's kind of went haywire a bit there. It's gone off the rails. But you know what I'm saying. You know, if you brandish a sword in somebody's face, they're going to draw their sword and try and defend themselves. If you're pointing a huge, life-altering, life-changing gun in somebody's face, you know, they're going to get angry or scared. And they're definitely going to run away from you as quickly as they possibly can. So we need to bear that in mind. And we do need to bear that in mind. And that's kind of, I think that's the best advice I've ever come up with so far. But there's like 20 tips there or something stupid like that now. And it keeps growing. But these therapy sessions are really just there for people to hear that, yeah, we've all been through it. We've all gone through it. You know, it seems to be pretty much the standard conspiracy theorist journey. Let's replace the hero's journey with the conspiracy theorist journey. You've got to hit rock bottom and be fully rejected by everybody and everybody around you before you finally realize you should probably just shut up and put up. You come full circle and start being normal again, but this time with the information, you know. Sadly, some people don't come back. They do get a little bit too lost in it all, and that's another thing I try and help people with, to not lose themselves, not utterly lose their minds to this information. And I'm hoping these shows can help people stay a bit more grounded, you know, because it is too easy. It's all too easy, isn't it, to forget what normal people are thinking and doing on a day-to-day basis when you're utterly in this world. You can get a little bit isolated, a bit more like a hermit in a way, and you can kind of become very detached with everybody else. And I know there's good reason for that, because the world's awful and why would you want anything to do with it, and you're completely justified, but you still kind of have to live in it whether you like it or not. So you're going to have to learn to have some healthy coping mechanisms so you can at least feed yourself and keep that roof above your head. Things like that. And, you know, as difficult as life is, it helps to have friends around. We don't want to lose everybody. You know, it helps to still have family to support us when we really need it. And knowing that the banking systems are completely corrupt and there's an evil cabal controlling the world isn't going to help you when you need a lift to the hospital. So you do need to remember that you still live in the world, as corrupt as it is. And you know, stay grounded, guys. Anyway, let's have a look at the chat. Let's see what's going on. I'm going to pour myself a cup of chamomile tea here, which quite literally, it looks like urine, doesn't it? That looks awful. And it tastes awful as well, but it's good for you. And I'm trying to do a cleanse. I'm trying to be healthy. So here we go. How's the chat going? Much love from Northeast England, UK. Excellent. Well, hello from the Northwest. Texas here, says Kathy. Is it Dion? Dion Johnson? And Kathy Slaw. Thanks for being here, guys. Just recently found this channel. I think he's right about Millennial Reign, and it's much later than we think. Maybe I'm not. Who knows with this? Again, try not to lose yourself to this stuff. It's definitely a fascinating subject that I'm struggling to let go of, if you can't tell. There's a lot to combat with this theory and this topic, and I think it's edging closer and closer towards fact rather than theory the longer we dwell on it. But it is it's not an easy one. It's not an easy pill to swallow, this one. It's the ultimate game changer. It's the only way I can describe it. It completely reframes everything, and we have to completely reevaluate everything we've been thinking about, especially in the conspiracy world for the past decade. You know, we think we've been exposing the evil Illuminati agenda and seeing the signs of Jesus' return everywhere, you know. When now, in context of this theory, all we've been doing is playing into their hand and believing that we're in the end times and Jesus is about to return, and everything they've been doing is there for us to purposely expose to keep us convinced that we're trapped in tribulation period. It's like a long con, double bluff, psychological nightmare to find ourselves trapped in, and it's like we've been utterly played when you consider this theory, you know. And I think it's healthy to always consider every option and every possibility personally, which is why I'm not letting this topic go, despite how many people want to call me a heretic or a heathen or just tell me to shut up and take the video down. How dare you even consider such a thing? It's like, grow up, you know. We're allowed to think, people. Great ad, Paul, says Dom. Thank you. I'm glad you enjoy it. Such an awesome commercial. So funny. I do try. You know, I'm writing a book about clowns. You know, I've got a sense of humor. I know a thing or two about comedy. I've been meaning to message you, Paul, about an idea I have, says Punky's Weird World. Then message me. You can even message me here now while you've got me, or you can email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com. Link is below in the description of this video. Just click more on the description of this video, and there's a whole plethora of links there that lead you to all sorts of websites relating to me, including my email address. So give that a go. Quick copy paste of that. Elizabeth Joyce is here. Thanks for being here, Elizabeth. I appreciate it. How's the drawing coming along? For those who don't know, Elizabeth is kind of Understanding Conspiracy's resident artist. She, let me get this headphone out. Hang on. She sent this as a gift to me and my wife, and as you can see, it's pretty incredible. It's intense, you know. It's a very great piece of artwork with a wonderful passage there at the bottom, Matthew 22. And she is currently in the middle of adding colour to the extremely large pencil drawing you see here. This is just a print of a very large image. And she shared it in the Telegram group that she started doing it. And as an artist myself, I understand it takes time and effort of motivation to begin such a project. And it's not going to happen overnight because you have to be meticulous. And I'm sure her attention to detail, as you can tell with this image, is meticulous. So it may take her a while. But if you want to, you can go check out Elizabeth Joyce artwork on Google and find her work, find this image. And she has plenty of prints for sale, which are wonderful. So there you go. She's not paying me to say this, by the way. I'm just paying it forward because she sent such a...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Wonderful gift to me and my wife. But yes, keep me updated, Elizabeth, on the drawing in the Telegram. We're all eager to see how that looks in its final way, and when I get a chance, I'll buy myself a copy of that print as well. I feel our world leaders are aware of the Little Season. What motivates to continue the darkness, knowing what the outcome is? Well, I think they have been legitimately deceived into thinking they have a chance. And that in a way they'll get Lucifer will be, or the devil, or whatever you want to call the adversary, will be given his own kingdom at the end of all of this. And what maybe they may actually consider like the lake of fire as a metaphorical symbol for another place in which him and his followers will get to reside. But we don't know. We don't know for sure what it means to be thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever. Is it eternal torment, or is it just forever burnt and gone and disappeared, annihilation, you know? Or could it be that these people have been convinced that no, God's just going to give us our own realm? You know, it's not in God's nature to kill people, you see, or just wipe us out. Would God really do that? No, he will just give us our own place to be left to our own devices, you know. And come with me and you can be kings in my kingdom. They probably believe something like that, these Luciferian orders. And they're not stupid, but they are in a way kind of blind to their own belief system. Like they legitimately think Lucifer's the good guy. You know, they have a heavy Gnostic tinge going behind them, that the god of this world is evil. And Lucifer, the Lightbringer, came to set us free from it with the knowledge. They actually do believe that. And that they probably are under the impression that a revelation is kind of like either a lie or is just something. They've probably been told, no, we created that to control the masses and keep them in fear or something. They probably have this weird, I don't know, mental gymnastic view in some way that they think they're going to win. And that's just hubris. That's pride. That is hubris and pride. And I know from our perspective, because relatively speaking, we tend to be quite humble and lowly as Christians and tend not to think we know it all and that we're always going to be wrong. The people in these positions are the world leaders with money and power and rich and fame, and they think they deserve it all and they're the best people, the elites, and they nothing can get past them. So that they're blinded by their own hubris in that sense. So it seems alien to us and stupid. Like, come on, they've got to know, right? It's like they don't want to jeopardize all the stuff they've got, so they'll just keep the permanent blinders on. They'll blind themselves to the truth to keep what they've got. And I guess that's that phrase. You know, it's easier that a camel goes through the eye of a needle than a rich man makes it to heaven, to the kingdom. You know, for this reason, because they tend not to want to let it go and will stay willfully ignorant of the inevitable end of it all just to keep hold of that earthly power for a little bit longer. But after all, what profits a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? It's frivolous, it's fruitless, it's all vanity, it's pride. You know, we've been told this over and over again. And pride is the ultimate sin, it's the issue. It's kind of, it's the big one, you know, it's pride that caused Lucifer to fall. Or the devil to fall, when again people argue about what the adversary's name actually is. But the rebellion of the angels was due to pride. Maybe the rebellion of mankind, you know, through Cain, and maybe through Adam and Eve, was pride. You know, we know better than God. It's kind of, well, you know, what? I don't care if he's my creator. He gave me free will. I should be able to do what I want. That type of attitude is kind of. So, you know, I've got free will. Of course I'm going to put my hand on this stove. Who's going to stop me? It's that kind of attitude. It's pride, isn't it, fundamentally, that causes men to wander into their own lake of fire, I suppose. But there you go, yeah. I feel like our world leaders, in a way, I think those at the very, 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 very tip of that pyramid of control probably do know what's really going on. And they're probably there with the angels who are like, we know we're doomed. Screw it. If I'm going down, the world's going down. They're going down with me. It's that kind of attitude. Then, obviously, as that pyramid goes down to the next levels, people know less and less, don't they? They are convinced more and more of a lie or a false view. And maybe the ones just below the people at the peak maybe do believe they're going to win and actually they're going to get something wonderful. And they're disseminating that down to the minions below, you know, but the ones at the peak probably do know the truth. Maybe, yeah, probably, highly likely. The angels certainly know, who are the pinnacle of that rebellion, you know, and so do the Nephilim, the spirits in the other world. They know where they're going, and they're just trying to convince the rest of humanity to see, to be blind to that truth as well. So it's kind of it's a complex system, isn't it? But I do think the ones at the very, very, very top, humans, probably know. But fundamentally, this our enemies aren't human. It's a spiritual war. We're against the principalities and the powers and the angels and the Nephilim offspring in the spirit realm. Fundamentally, that's who we're against. They hate us. They're in lockstep rebellion with Lucifer since the fall. You know, and they know, they don't care. They literally know the consequences of their actions. They understand. They're exercising their own free will, which they kind of never really should have had, but they're exercising it anyway. And their main agenda literally has always been since the flood, let's utterly corrupt God's creation at every possible turn and step we can. How, by any means necessary, we don't care how we do it, let's just do it. You know, the first one was, let's get Adam and Eve. You know, let's whisper in Cain's ear, let's make him murder his brother. Okay? And then the second step was, let's use Cain's pride and hubris and mix with his daughters and create genetic hybrid monsters that will subjugate and take over all the antediluvian world. And then subject man under our children, our offspring, instead. Let's steal humanity's birthright of ownership by being half human, half divine angel giants, you know, these Nephilim. And, you know, I think birthright, I think Timothy Alberino made a book about that one specifically, but that was self-evident to me just looking at it. And I think I write about that in my own book, in the first 10 chapters of this, because it's obviously what the agenda was. Just because you can even tell that they all become kings and rulers, even in like non-biblical mythology. In Greek mythology, it seems like all the Olympians were obsessed with raping the wives or the daughters of kings because they were in positions of leadership. They were positioning their own offspring into legitimate heirships of rulership over humanity. So they have their own legitimate heirs in those kingdoms, you know. They were trying to usurp those positions of authority and power over humanity, and they did it, you know. And that's the second step, to corrupt all of mankind. Then when God sent the judgment and all the Nephilim had to kill each other and the angels had to watch their own children die as they murdered one another, that was the punishment, and then they were bound in chains, the remaining angels who were in rebellion, who didn't mate with women and didn't suffer that consequence, said, right, let's continue with the agenda. What can we do next to utterly corrupt mankind and everything about it? Let's teach them how to do genetic engineering. If we can't make hybrid monsters by sleeping with women anymore, because we've seen the consequence and it's too harsh, let's just teach humanity how to mix themselves with animals instead. And that's what happened just before the flood. And that's what we get all sorts of horrible monsters from. And it's just one step after another to utterly corrupt us, to destroy the image of God at any means necessary. You know, and if it wasn't for Noah being the only one perfect in his generations, we wouldn't be here. You know, God's always doing everything he can to keep us around, but we keep going along with the agenda of the enemy and making things worse. Like, we're terrible. We're really bad for it, you know. So, like, we can blame the angels as much as we want, but all they're doing is facilitating our own lusts and our own pride and hubris and egos to want to make the decision to, let's say, have sex with an angel and give birth to a giant, or, I don't know, mix my DNA with a dog to become a werewolf. So, you know, make me a fish person. That'll save me from that flood, won't it? Now we've got mermaids and marine kingdoms and all sorts of nonsense around today. And it's kind of, okay, so yeah, we're just as much to blame as them. It's all down to pride, hubris, and rebellion. The agenda has always been to corrupt humanity at every lockstep. Jesus came, took away the power, gave it over to us. We now have the power to tread on these serpents easily in his name and his authority. We have the spiritual warfare weaponry available to us now to protect ourselves. So the game's changed a little bit, but the end agenda has always been the same: corrupt God's creation, destroy the image of God within man, do everything we can to make it terrible at every turn and step. And that's why it says quite clearly in Ephesians, you know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our real enemy, our real war, is spiritual. It's about temptation. What does it really mean, you know? And it's to give in to our pride and make those choices to be as gods ourselves. The next one is probably going to be, we can give you superpowers by, you know, all you have to do is just take this transhumanist upgrade and you could be like a god among men. Who is that appeal to pride is the constant barrage of that appeal. That's all it's ever been. That's what the main agenda to control us is. And now we have this whole other mess thrown in there that we're in the final throes here. You know, it's Gog Magog war next. Satan's gathering an army in his little season, and we are completely deceived. We have no idea who we are, where we are, or when we are. We have no idea. The majority of the Western world now doesn't even believe a god exists. Like, the devil is doing a good job in his little season, I'll say that. We are a dwindling minority, and, you know, people are always saying there's revivals here and there, but I don't know. I'm dubious. Maybe I'm getting pessimistic in my old age. Who knows? Anyway, what's the chat saying? I went on a bit there, didn't I? Let's see what's going on. I got lost on a roof this week. Still short-circuiting. Okay. All right, Don. I'm sorry to hear that. Howdy from the Wild West, says Flo. Howdy. Hello from Minnesota, says Jackie. Bub Sack says, hey, just wanted to hop in and thank you for your work. We'll be buying your book when I get paid. I'm excited to read into your work. Thank you. I really appreciate that. The book sales are actually doing incredibly well. Far better than I ever dreamed. I am shocked at just how many books I've actually sold.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Actually, according to Amazon, I have sold 961 books to date. That's in a month and a half. 961 books in a month and a half. But that's not including the 25 crate I sold to somebody in America, which they are now giving out to people. So what's that? That's, my maths is failing me. That's 86. 986. And I think three or four extras sold since then. I just sold one today as well. So I'm on the cusp of 1,000 books already. But I'm going to wait till the official figure says 1,000 on Amazon, and then I'll screenshot that, you know, and make a post about it to celebrate. That's 1,000 units through Amazon sold in a month and a half. I mean, that's actually incredible. I looked into the statistics of this, and I'm probably off right now, correct me, you know, but loosely from my memory, I think it's something like 10% of new authors maybe sell over 250 books in their first year. Most, 90% don't even hit that threshold. 90% of new authors don't sell 250 books in 1 year. I've smashed it in a month and a half. So that's good. It's a good sign. I cannot believe how lucky I am. I've made it to the top 10% who actually make it past that threshold. And then I think from there, I think it's most don't make it to 1,000. Like I said, but the point is I made it to 1,000 books, which is quite good. And I think some people, it takes a year to get to 1,000 book sales. But the demand is there. And I think the advert I made did help a lot. I can see a significant boost in sales since I released the advert, which is brilliant. I'm going to have to make some more adverts. I'll try and get funny again. I'll try and come up with some more humorous scripts and see what I can do. But yeah, I'm looking forward to making another advert and seeing the results of that. But 1,000 copies almost sold to date. in a month and a half. It was the 2nd of July, I think, I released the first book. So there we go. And obviously the release of the Kindle version at the start of this month has definitely helped as well. But there we go. Sorry, guys, the chat's just jumped away from me. Let me see if I can catch up to where I was up to. Elizabeth Joyce, thanks so much. No problem at all. Paul's looking 10 years young. It's amazing what a shave and a haircut can do, isn't it? I'll tell you now, I don't feel 10 years younger. I feel like I'm 55 years old. I'm only 32. But yeah, I still feel like an old soul, as they say. We live in the world, but not a part of it, says Oscar Sanchez. Absolutely. Scottish Tart says, I had to pick a hobby, sewing, to get me away from watching Truth of Vids all day. Yeah, that's good, though. That's good that you found something else productive to do. That's kind of what we have to remember, you know. It's all well and good knowing the truth, you know, and we can do what we can with that and not be deceived ourselves anymore. But come on, you still have a life. Go and live it. Do something fun. Like, go feed the ducks. Touch grass. Go and do something with it. You've got this life to live. Don't waste it just because some evil idiots rule the world and are just doing stupid things in their own hubris and pride. You go do your, live your life God gave you, all right? Free from their corruption mentally. They don't have that. Hopefully you've been released from their bind now by knowing this stuff. Go and use that. Go do something. Read a book. Read this book. Maybe you shouldn't read this one if you're trying to take a break. But yeah, you know what I'm saying. What if the Catholic list of saints is comprised of governors living in cathedrals during the millennial reign? That is one of the main theories. It's funny because Exploring Tartaria, the first woman who really started talking about this with a lot of visual images to back it up, which was really, really well done. She goes on about this idea that the saints were knocking about probably in these cathedrals as like emissaries on behalf of Jesus. And you could just, you want to get a message to Jesus directly, go to your local saint. And they'll intercede and they'll get you to him or something like that, or they'll give advice based on what Jesus has told them or something like that, you know. And it was a very odd time to be alive, for sure, but these saints were tangible, real people who were kind of around, available to talk to. And that's an amazing thing to think about, isn't it? And she does make a compelling slideshow, but she hasn't got the videos on her own channel anymore. Other people have re-uploaded them. And the links are currently in the Telegram group. So go check that out if you haven't already. I do believe the rewriting history and doing it through AI. It's very difficult to get actual physical books from the 60s. And quick example is the Bible of when Jesus clearly states prayer and fasting. Yes, I understand what you're saying there. The control of information is key to keep this under wraps. And I've not made a video about it yet. I do plan on making that video, but there is a someone sent me a link basically they copy pasted a discussion they had with AI. I think Perplexity was the AI they were using, and they were basically asking, if you were the devil, if this is the Little Caesar and the devil is in control, how would the devil go about hiding the millennial reign? And the AI basically makes a comprehensive step-by-step list of how it could be done. And a lot of the points are actually pretty much what we have discussed here and there in our own videos on this, myself and other channels included. So it's possible the AI pulled its resources from our transcripts and has mashed together a lot of our own ideas we have already verbally said, you know, to make this list, this algorithmic list, which hits all these key points. But it's kind of like the AI saying it's possible as long as you do this, this, and that, and you thoroughly control the information immediately after the reign ends. And then it goes about the school systems. It says how many generations it would take to deceive these people. It's really fascinating. And I'm going to do a separate video where I'm just showcasing all of this information. And I'll do like images to show it happening in real time, you know, as I describe it. I think it could be a really good video. I think it could really help people visualize how possible this actually is. Because if you can hear the agenda, like, step one, like suppress information and destroy every copy of the Bible you could possibly find. I don't know if that's the first step. I can't remember. It says step two, you know, get hold of the education systems and control the mind of the youth and start teaching them an alternate history. Within two generations, you to hopefully that should be covered up. Step three, bury and destroy as much of the old world as you possibly can. It goes through all the steps of how it could be done. And it's chilling when you read it. It's actually really chilling. It's like, yeah, there's absolutely nothing. Nothing would have stopped them from being able to do any of this stuff. They could easily have done all of this. And we can easily be deceived. It even goes on to say, make alternative histories to explain away the things people see. You know what I mean? And it's all there. And this AI knows exactly how Satan would deceive everybody in a little season to make them think they're in tribulation, like, and to hide the millennial reign. And I think if I can say each step and put imagery that we can all relate to it, that shows they have done this, and you're living in it now, you know, I think that will finally drive home the point we're all trying to make here. Why couldn't we be the ones living in the little season? What makes us so special to think we couldn't be those people? And I think that's what people get hung up too much on. Well, this generation might not mean this generation. It's like that one passage is what you're going to obsess over to try and prove this wrong. Oh, well, 1,000 years to God is like a day, you know, it's not the same as us. Yeah, well, 1,000 years to us is 1,000 years. It isn't a day to a human. It feels like a really, 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 really long time. It feels like 1,000 years, in fact. However that feels to God, it's still 1,000 years to us. You know, and a millennial kingdom is 1,000-year kingdom. There's no other way to really square it. Anyway, I'm going off the point. People who don't want to believe this focus too much on minutia details which aren't relevant. They're not seeing the big picture. They're not understanding everything else around those verses says he did mean the generation in front of him. Like, he meant his generation. No matter how much you can reinterpret the translation of generation, he was still talking about his own people. Every other verse surrounding it backs up within context. He was talking about the people in front of him, not some random faraway generation 2,000 years in the future. And so look forward to that video. I've actually already got the thumbnail. Can I show you the thumbnail? Let me just quickly check something. Are you tired of the same old conversations? Sorry, guys. I know you don't want to see that. But let me quickly just change this image, okay? And this is the thumbnail I've currently created for it. And you can see that now. There we go. So this is my mock-up first thumbnail. So it's in the works. You know, I'm working on it. It took me a while to make this happen, to get those horns on that thing. But I'm figuring it out, you know. This is a rough thumbnail. So look out for this thumbnail. When this video drops, it's probably going to look something like this. But yeah, I do plan on making that video. It should be good. It should be good. Let me have a look on here what people are saying in the chat. The Church of the Camp of Saints says, how incredible would it be if Satan were to accidentally agree with God and that card were played on them? And furthermore, bizarre is, that's what it's always been about. Okay, you lost me there. I'm not saying you don't know what you're talking about, but I don't know what you're talking about there. Sorry, that wasn't very clear for me. Sorry. Do you think Nephilim could still be around in physical form, or did they all get washed away? I think there are the descendants of the OG Nephilim still about, so they're not perfect half-human, half-angel hybrids. They're like, they've got a bit of angel blood in them, left over from the dilution of breeding and breeding and breeding with humans throughout the generations. So they still exist. And there's plenty of evidence to show that those who control us believe they are those descendants themselves. The divine right to rule, you know, angel blood. The blue bloods. So I do think that might exist, but I also think things like Bigfoot are the Eliud or the Elio, which are the descendants of the Nephilim as well. And there's many offshoot Nephilim-esque creatures, but there's also a lot of humans who hybridized themselves, who ended up creating obviously their own offspring of other hybridized humans, you know, dogmen, mothmen, fishmen, mermaids, sirens, werewolves, you know, things like
that. This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Like that, you know, Seth, I don't know, name a cryptid. that's where they all come from, you know, this mixing of kinds, I believe. Elizabeth says, the painting's going well, slowly but surely. I'm on the last stretch of painting the rose window. I'm excited to get started on the birds in the next few months. Excellent. Fantastic progress. They are catalyst and fuel for most wicked righteousness the earth has ever seen. A kingdom divided cannot stand. Okay. The higher powers have people wrapped in a web of lies, and they have us even unwittingly sinning constantly, says Punky's Weird World. Yes, it's a mess, isn't it? We live in a mess of a world. I agree. I'm just going to skip that. It's about to show you guys. Bring the webcam back up there. They believe they can win against God. It's an eternally fatal error. Yes, but that's pride. Pride's one hell of a drug. I'll tell you that much. The ship is a huge cube. Jerusalem. The good guys. The Federation. One world government. Fight them. They are actually the main enemy. Yeah, so that's the alien invasion angle to all of this theory, isn't it? Which I'm a huge, I think, creator and proponent of. I think I really am the one who really pushed the idea of, okay, so where do aliens fit into this? New Jerusalem. There you go. Bam. Floating city. I will be like the Most High God. Absolutely. That's what they believe. Pride will be the stumbling block for many, says Visionary Vet. It is. It already is. It already is the massive stumbling block for many. Joke Wedding Photographer, thanks for being here. Used to seeing you. Yeah. I was thinking how all these old buildings have no plumbing. Having been built during the millennial reign, maybe there's no plumbing because all water is sacred. Maybe. That's interesting. Yeah. I think it depends. Some of them do have plumbing. Some buildings do have plumbing, you know. It's possible the ones that don't have plumbing were never intended to be lived in. They're more likely machinery or, you know, a tool of a sort. These buildings were practical in nature, not just to live in or inhabit. Though you could wander around them if you wanted to. I think they were more to do with storing energy and cycling energy in many ways. But we call them mansions today with many rooms. And these are more like holding capacitors for energy to swirl through, you know, to keep it in a cycle or something like that. I don't think these rooms were meant to have beds in them, you know what I mean? and kitchens installed. I think that's our perspective makes us think, well, where were the bathrooms? This is odd. People must not have been going to the bathroom then. And it's kind of, well, maybe not. I don't think it has anything to do with water being sacred because people were making fountains and all sorts of things around the area, you know. They were using plumbing and pipes to make water spurt out of places, so they could have done it. But maybe that wasn't the point of the building. And maybe the population wasn't so large that they needed these buildings for people to inhabit. People had their own homes and dwellings, more personal, you know, which probably did have plumbing of a sort. So we don't, it's different. Because obviously there's perfected saint, bodied saint, people walking around who probably don't need to defecate. But then there's people walking around who might live a bit longer than usual, but they probably do still, you know, expel things from their bodies. So you it's a bit of this, a bit of that, isn't it? We've got to use our discernment and theorize and speculate as to the lack of plumbing in these huge mansions. We are all sinning each time we use our own toilets, just the thought. Well, you know, Had to believe in living water to get it. Yes, says Don. Your content is amazing, says Kitten Tactical Warfare. That's one hell of a name. But feels is lost to non-English speakers. I'm a medical interpreter. Can you approve me to dub your content non-monetized and send it back for your own posting? Interesting. Well, let's talk about this. Let's communicate this behind the scenes and see if we can maybe can get like a understanding conspiracy Spanish section going or something like that. I don't know, or whatever language you speak. I think Mind Unveiled does something very similar, doesn't he? He has interpreters who would do their videos and he would post them. But then, you know, and in the long, this is being real with you here, you know, and I'm not trying to put you down. I don't know you. I don't know anything about you. So I'm not making assumptions. I'm just talking about humans here in general. But when someone puts work into stuff, they tend to expect compensation, even if they're not really asking for it. And that could become a huge issue if we haven't already figured that out before we agree to do that kind of stuff. Okay. And also at the same time, there's copyright issues. You know, my work is involved. I need to know. How am I supposed to know that your translation is true if I don't know the language as well? It's not as simple as it sounds when you actually start to really consider these things and the details that are involved. And again, that's nothing against you. I'm thankful for the support and the offer, but we need to communicate more first and make, you know, we have to agree on some things before any of that becomes apparent. And before we agree on anything like that at all, okay? But I'm not saying no. I'll say that, but we do need to talk. So email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and let's see what we can figure out. Let's see if we can hash this out and get something going. So there we go, yeah. That sounds interesting, sounds fun. When the no-hide laws start, what will you do? Well, what can we do? We're going to fail miserably at all of them, right? We're going to be in trouble. The island of Dr. Moreau told the modern version of the mixing of humans and animal DNA. Yes, you're right. We aren't saints, says Julie C. No, never said we were. I am late. This is episode 64. What's that? Episode 65. That's odd. Did you really name yourself that? Because of this episode, is that what's going on here? Because if it is, I'm already sensing troll here, so I will probably just delete you soon. You know, no offense. For those who are not sure of what to do with the Little Caesar information, please consider Titus chapter 1, says Kirk Ford. Okay, I'm going to email Paul regarding Coney Island and see if he'd like to hear my experience from the 60s and 70s, says Crimson Sky. Sure, send me whatever you want to show me, and let's see what it was like. Let's see what you've got to share. Punky Squidward, love your content, Paul. Many blessings from Ontario. Thank you so much. I'd like to see that, Paul. Is that the video of the AI talk? Don't forget, brothers and sisters in this world, to click that thumbs up tab. Yeah. Keeping lots of love. That's right, guys. Make sure to like this video, share, and if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe. The classic. The classic trifecta of pleading for people to like me and follow me, you know. Have you read about Admiral Byrd? Yes, I think everybody's read about Admiral Byrd by now. I'd love to, but never use Zoom. Who or what is Gog Magog? Giants, sea creatures, couple of dudes, land masses. It's up for speculation, where just exactly who Gog and Magog is. I know Bible Scribe did a great video kind of breaking that down and the hordes involved and the geographical locations. I'm erring more in the idea that Gog Magog is kind of symbolic of the East and the West, in a sense. It's kind of all-encompassing from all corners of the earth, an army will be gathered together for this war, this Gog-Magog war, and it'll all be directed towards surrounding the camp of saints. So I think we should think a bit more broad about it. Everyone wants to say it must be something that borders or neighbours Jerusalem in this current time frame of geographical locations, and only Jerusalem in the Middle East must be surrounded by, you know, these countries that are near it. And this kind of, if we go out a little bit and look at the bigger picture, I think this is an earth-wide situation. But what do I know? I could be wrong. I have no idea with who Gog Magog is specifically. I know they've been represented as giants, symbolically speaking, throughout mythology, especially in Europe and in England. It's quite a common myth of the Gog Magog giants. Healy, closed captions does translations. There's no need, to be honest. Yeah, I do believe there is that option as well. Yeah, closed captions can translate them. I suppose you're talking about more audio, aren't you? Like, people can hear it being spoken in the language. Question, is there still an opportunity for us to receive an uncorruptible body? Yeah, after the great white throne judgment at the end of time in the new heaven and earth, when the rest of the dead are resurrected. It's just, there's two resurrections. There's the first resurrection, which is the saints who get to rule with Christ as kings for 1,000 years when Satan is bound. Those are those who were martyred for Christ, you know, his apostles and the rest, you know, who, and the Christians afterwards who believed upon him and were murdered and beheaded for their faith. They're the first resurrection. They get to live with Christ for 1,000 years on earth during the millennial reign. And then at the end, when the 1,000 years has ended and Satan is released, that's when the rest of the dead is resurrected. And the point is, they will also be given their own uncorruptible bodies at the end of all of this, when the new heaven and earth is finally created. And I don't know when that's going to be, but it's going to have to be after the war, after the great big end game final battle of the earth, aliens included, you know, the big one, the big one. The incomprehensible, unlike anything we've ever seen before, type of war, you know, supernatural war of cosmological levels, that kind of thing. And once that's all done and dusted, I believe that's when, after judgment, there's a new heaven and earth, and we're raised incorruptible, everybody, during that time. But those who took part in the first resurrection have already gone through that process, and they're just waiting for the rest of humanity to go through that process too in the final resurrection. But that does come after a judgment first, for what we did in our physical forms, I suppose. But maybe I'm getting a bit fast and loose there with what that means exactly. I don't, you know, there's many theological debates on how that goes down and how judgment takes place and what the criteria is and all these type of things. But you just better hope you're written in the book of life when it comes to that moment, and you're covered by the blood of Jesus for that final moment. That's what really counts. That's what really counts at the end of it all.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You ain't getting there by your own works, let's put it that way. Is mine unveiled AI? I stopped watching. I don't think it's AI. No, he's a real dude. He's talked to me once, I think, about the whole Nephilim clown thing, and obviously he made his own video which recapped my episode 43 and 44, I think, or something like that. He made his own video on my latest videos, which brought a lot of traffic to my channel, which I'm thankful for. But I think he's real. I do think he's real. Can you do an episode on marijuana? I already have. It's I think it's time or something like that. It's about how you should quit. I used to do it a lot myself, 8 years straight. I quit in 2016 or 18. I think it was 2016, I think. I cut down tobacco in 2016. Then I went cold turkey in 2018 after lowering the cannabis. But I haven't touched the stuff in like 8 years now. I'm clean. It's not necessarily evil in and of itself, but it makes you okay with doing nothing. And you, before you know it, 10 years of your life will have passed and you won't even have blinked. And you can equate that to the cannabis and messing with your perception of time. And you wouldn't have gone anywhere. You wouldn't have changed or moved or progressed in any way. It makes you waste your life. I know it sounds cliche, but it quite literally does that to you. And it makes you okay with it. It's also a suppressant of mental traumas and things you should be dealing with and moving on from and processing. Every time you spark up a joint, you're kicking that can down the road. I'll deal with it later. And then before you know it, it's 8 years have passed and you have this repressed trauma you never dealt with still there, like unprocessed and ready to rear its ugly head at any moment and make you lash out at the people you love and do anything stupid. You know, it needs dealing with. But cannabis is an easy out. You know, it's easy. It makes things easier, but it certainly doesn't make things better. I'd say that. Like when I quit, you know, I started to dream again. And all the things I kind of ignored, all the mistakes I'd made, the people I'd hurt, the people who would hurt me, the things I needed to deal with, all came at once. I remembered all of a sudden, you know, and I had some stuff, some personal work I needed to do. I needed to be a better person. You know, I'd been running away from that so long and self-medicating that I kind of forgot what had happened, you know, and. I forgot my childhood until I quit, and suddenly it all came back to me. I'm like, oh yeah, that happened. I need to deal with that, you know, and lost relationships, you know, rather than confronting these people, you it's easier just to ignore it, isn't it, and get high instead. And it's kind of, and you know, some people need to do it for medical reasons again, so I'm not like saying it's evil inherently, but there also comes a point, doesn't there, where you're not in control anymore. I know I was smoking to be sober. It didn't get me high anymore. I was just smoking so I could be normal. Like, in fact, being sober for me was the trip. You know, that was a different consciousness. Being high was the norm. That's the issue. You know, when you've crossed that threshold, that boundary, you need to look at yourself in the mirror and think, is this right? Is this really what I want for myself? Is this healthy? And the answer is obviously no. But you'll do anything you can to kind of justify it. Because you think, oh, it's not that serious. You know, it's only weed. It's never killed anybody, has it? What's the big deal? So what if I like to get high? Everybody has a vice. Everyone has a vice. This is just mine. I mean, it's better than alcohol, right? You know, I don't drink. Like, at least I'm not drinking alcohol. That stuff kills people, you know. It's kind of, you do all these things, don't you, to justify it. I know, because I've been there. I've done it. It's like, oh, people who don't smoke weed are just weird. They're just losers, man. They're lame. They don't get it. They don't get it like I get it. Only, you know, if you meet somebody else that gets high, it's like, yeah, you get it, man. You know, you're like me. You understand. Those other people, them over there, they don't understand like we do, you know. And you get into that mindset, don't you? It's us and them. And it's pride again, isn't it? It's hubris. But it's not. None of it's true. It's all the stuff you made up in your head to justify your addiction, basically. It's not real. And you know, you have work to do. But again, it's just easier just to, I'll just get high instead. You know, and that's the problem with cannabis, because it isn't immediately like, it's not going to kill you, you're right. It's not, you're not going to get these detrimental health effects, which are like, obvious, like, oh man, every time I smoke this joint, my skin's falling off it more and more. It's not like that, you know. It's not visible so much physically that it's doing something to you, but it's psychologically speaking, it really is. And it's like a death by a thousand joints, you know, to paraphrase an old adage there. It's kind of, before you know it, you're 50 and you've been high since you were 18 and you don't remember any of it. You blinked and your life has passed because you don't process time right when you're in that psychedelic mindset, which cannabis is a psychedelic. And when you're on psychedelics, time is an illusion. It's all one by that point. It blends together. No difference between 5 minutes worth of time or 10 or 5 hours to you, to your perceptions. The passage of time doesn't exist, like it's all now. So you're always in the now, you know, never the thinking about the future or never worrying about the future or thinking about the past, because the past doesn't exist and neither does the future. It's just ideas in our minds, you know, all there is here and now. And again, it's good to gain that perspective. It's useful to have that perception for a short while to understand the nature of reality and that time really is an illusion and how we shouldn't let it be the be-all and end-all to dictate how we move through our existence. I get all that. There's things to be learned, but it can be easily abused, especially by those who have been abused or are running away from something. And that's the issue. That's the issue, you know. And it's kind of, if you're smoking weed every day and being sober is the trip, it's time to reconsider. And when I made that video, I said it as calmly, as politely as this, as somebody who understands and has been through it, and I got so much hate because people think I'm like personally attacking them because I'm saying maybe you shouldn't smoke so much weed. You know, maybe it's not that good of an idea, you know. Have you considered that maybe you should just cut it down a little bit? And it's kind of, this is the other issue. People identify with it and make it their personality. Well, who am I if I'm not the guy who's high all the time? You know what I mean? People have got themselves into that mindset that I'm the guy who smokes all the weed in the group. I'm that guy. You know, if I'm not that guy, I don't know who I am. They have this existential crisis, you know? Like Richard the Barber. Like if I'm not the clown, like what am I? It's that kind of. It's hard to let go of this persona you've built for yourself, this mask, you know, this illusion of who you think you are, and when you've based your entire life around it for so long, your identity is intrinsically linked with being the guy who smokes the weed, you know, being the stoner in the group. And I think that's the issue. You know, people need to disassociate themselves with a plant. Like, if your entire personality revolves around a plant, like, you have no personality. You need to stop and go and find out who you really are without the plant. That's the real work. But again, it's easier just to spark up a joint and get high. Why deal with having to find out who I am? What's the point, you know? I'll just get high instead and avoid it. that's what happens. This is the issue with it. That's the issue with cannabis. Fundamentally, it makes you okay with achieving nothing and doing nothing with your life and just letting and just being. And maybe there is a time and place for that. There's certainly some people I've met in my existence and I've thought to myself, I think you might need to smoke a joint. Like, because they're so living in the future that they're missing the present moment, you know. And workaholics are a good example of that. You know, there's those people too, you know. And this is what I'm saying, like, it's checks and balances. I don't think it's inherently evil. I think it's a herb like any other herb, you know. Like, I'm taking black walnut, wormwood, clove, and garlic extract right now in a tincture to cleanse my body of parasites, you know. It's a plant. It's from a tree. I'm ingesting plant substances into my body to get a desired effect, you know. It's not any different when you consider that, you know, cannabis. I think it's not smoking the cannabis itself that's the problem. It's the abuse of it and the people not being consciously aware of the effects it has on them and the justifications that come with doing it. I think you can be a much happier, healthier person when you can be sober and be happy with yourself. And that takes work. I hated who I was when I became sober. I realized that I saw myself in the mirror. The first time I saw myself for who I really was, what I've done. Sins I have to answer for, the people I've hurt, stepped on, and walked over, the attitudes I've had, and the way I presented myself in the world, and the selfishness, all of it, you know, all the shame, things I've been avoiding confronting about myself, I had to finally confront when I got sober. And it took years. It's taken a year. I'm probably still dealing with this stuff. But I'm happy. I don't need a drug to be happy. I did need it back in that time of my life. You know, and that's what I'm saying is the work is worth it. It's worth it. And you can do it. If you're wondering whether or not you can let go or not, I believe in you. I believe you can do it. So try. Give it a go. So there you go. I've talked about cannabis. I answered your question. I talked to you about cannabis. There's my episode on marijuana for you, Thomas Gallagher. Maybe you needed to hear that. I don't know. Maybe someone else listening today needed to hear that. But there's my two cents on the matter. Take it or leave it. I know it's not much about conspiracy, but it's certainly when it comes to spiritual warfare stuff. These are probably part of the weapons that are being used against us, spiritually speaking. You know, so it's best to be sober and be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, wanders around like a roaring lion, seeking whomever he may devour. Let's not give him that opportunity. I like your Gog Magog theory. God, that was just an idea. I don't 100% know. If we are in the little season, how does scripture survive the apocalypse? I'm on board with the little season, just the thought I had. Well, there was a lot of it. That's how. Sheer volume of scripture and caves. There's a lot of scripture sealed up in caves that we keep discovering, isn't there? I think people took measures to protect scripture as much as possible. And I think after that, during the little season, there was many authorized versions of Bibles being created to solidify the gospel as well. But I also think since the little season began, a lot of that's been hidden, corrupted, buried, burnt, all of the lot. And we have scraps and remnants again. And I don't think we have the full Bible anymore, to be honest. God may have preserved his word. It might still be out there somewhere. But that doesn't mean mankind kept it together. Okay. And this is why the word needs to be written on our hearts. We shouldn't really be making an idol of paper and ink. And that's something we talked about quite a lot with John Kerwin on my Mandela Effect video we did recently. And he hit some solid points there. He really did. Now go check that out if you haven't already. Sorry, let me just check the chat. We're going for an hour already. I don't know how long I'm going to go for. We'll just keep going until I have nothing left to say. So we could be here for about 10 hours, but I'll try and keep it relatively short. Sure. Let's see what's going on. This world is a cheap copy of the reign of Christ, a world built on greed. Yeah, well, if you look around, I think you'll realize that, you know, actually, this, we're just squatting in the husked remains of his world. I wouldn't say it's a cheap copy. It's a decayed reality. Let's say that. I'm going to write Jesus King when I vote. Good idea. Is the Nephilim Look Like Clowns available in Audible? No, it's only available in written format, paperback, hardback, and Kindle. When I get time, which is something I really don't have this day, right, lately, you know, especially with a second kid on the way. When I get time, I will read the book myself and release the audio version. But that could be a long time from now, and I'm not in a rush to do it. It could happen in years. It could be years from now, for all I know. I'm not really in a position financially to pay for somebody to do that for me. And I think I'd rather read it myself anyway. I think the listeners would rather listen to me read it. I've heard that from plenty of people, so I'm probably going to do it that way whenever I get the chance. Maybe once I've published volume 2, because this is volume 1, you know, the history. Volume 2, the now, is a work in progress. You know, I'm about 20 to 30% through that right now, and hopefully that'll get published by next year at some point. I'm not giving any dates, I'm not promising anything, but maybe once the whole book, the whole collection is finished like that, and I make a combined version, volumes one and two combined into one thick book, I'll do the audio version then and just do one big long read, something like that. But we're talking like years from now before the audible version gets made. You know, being realistic with my extremely tight schedule as a father of two, running a YouTube channel and being interviewed twice a week and having errands to run in life, you know, and everything else in between. So we'll see. We'll see, but it's going to be in a few years' time. Ten years have got behind you. No one told you when to run. You missed the start gun, Pink Floyd. See, I know that's probably profound to you, but I literally don't know or care about Pink Floyd. It means nothing to me. I'm sorry, maybe I'm too young. I don't know, but it just means nothing to me. Now it's mostly GMO weed. Yeah, well, I've heard that. Marijuana helped stop alcohol sales, says Ed Mack. Okay, see, this is what I mean. So what? Doesn't negate what I just told you about the effects it has on people. Like, yeah, I get it. Alcohol is worse. Doesn't mean weed is perfect. Like, it doesn't mean, oh, I guess I should just smoke weed all the time then. That's like a false comparative. It's not real. I guess I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Do you drink alcohol now? No, I don't drink. I don't drink. I actually can't drink anymore either. It's not that, I wasn't anyway, even before my diagnosis. But I am prone to cirrhosis of the liver due to my hemochromatosis genetic condition. And I need to do everything I can to protect my liver as much as possible. And alcohol is just a no-go. It's just, why risk it, you know? I am prone to get rust building up in my fibrous tissue of my major organs, which will cause first fibrosis and then end stage cirrhosis if it goes on for too long, which will mean I will need organ transplants if it gets to that point. Right now, I've had all the tests done and I'm lucky that my liver and my heart is fine. I'm not willing to do anything to make that worse, and drinking alcohol is just one of those things. So I haven't actually touched a drink since my wedding day, and even then I didn't get drunk. So there you go. It's a song about the millennial rain. Okay, that's the Pink Floyd thing, is it? Okay. I'm Sicilian. I have a few drinks after dinner and go to sleep. Look, it each to their own. I'm not saying whatever, you know, don't do it. Like, drugs are bad, okay, you know. Like, whatever. I'm just telling you what can happen if you abuse these things. And it's all about balance, isn't it? It's about checks and balances and not going overboard with things and self-reflection and saying, like, have I gone too far with this now? You know, and we all know when we go too far, when we sin, miss the mark. That's all I'm saying. What do you think about just smoking a joint before bed and watching a movie or something? That's probably not too bad, is it? It's probably not ruining your life doing that, yeah. There's a time and a season, says John McClure. Yeah. Do you feel your age, Paul? I could use a big brother. Me being a 13-year-old in 60-year-old body. Well, Don, no, I have the knees of a 60-year-old thanks to 10 years working as a manager of a supermarket. And I've been told consistently since I was 10 years old, I sound like a 50-year-old man. So I don't know. I don't know. Physically speaking, I feel much older than I look just because of my condition. Like, it's rough. But you know, you carry on, you get on with it. You know, I might feel crappy, but I'm actually relatively fit and all right compared. And, mentally speaking, no, I don't feel like I'm 32 years old. I definitely feel like I'm like 60 or something. I don't know. I'm not into things people my age are into. Let's put it that way. A few hits before bedtime was great for me. Haven't smoked in a year now, though. Just not interested. Yeah, fair enough. You know, good. Clearly, it never had a control over you then to begin with, so it's not really a big deal, is it? I stopped smoking weed as soon as you said it. I only smoke crack and heroin now. Oh, well. Onwards and upwards. Is that the attitude? Gary, fair enough. Thomas Gallagher says, weed was good before bed, but after a while, I liked listening to Mr. Ballin instead of weed. Well, whatever floats your boat, mate. My doctor said I need weed to get high. Yes. Talk about Dr. Ballin now. Oh, the Cult of Khan is in the house. I just seen him there. The thing just jumped suddenly. Let's see. I'm going to catch up to the chat here. There's so very much to be learned from the Bible study. Pleasing God is on top of the list, says KTC. Yes, absolutely. That's true. Hey, I'm sober right now from weed now after watching your videos about the Little Season. I'm very much into spirituality, like New Age chakras, etc., but love Christ. Is following Christ too easy? Says Patrick Cathalan. I don't know what you mean there, but all the New Age stuff and the spirituality stuff is a cheap, poor stand-in for the real thing. A relationship with the Son of God is all you need. All that other stuff is vanity. Just, I'd leave it behind if I was you. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's not useful. And in many cases, you're likely just opening yourself up to demonic oppression. So that's my advice on that stuff. And no, it's not easy following Christ. The whole world will reject you. No one will like you anymore. That's pretty much the truth of the matter. But it's worth it. At the end of season one of the series Westworld, you can see huge digging machines in the background while Hopkins describes writing his new narrative. They told us then. Yeah, it's everywhere. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. They've been probably telling us this subconsciously in media for a long time, as is the nature of discovering a truth, you know, just like the Nephilim Look Like Clown stuff. You'll see it everywhere once I pointed it out to you. You'll realize they've been telling you the situation about clowns ever since media's began. You know, it's always been there. Paul, you speak so openly and honestly about the things you've experienced, says volumes about your testimony, growth, and relationship with God. Thank you. Yeah, I'm an open book. I wear my heart on my sleeve. Perhaps I'm naive, who knows, but I think people get something from this. So I'm not going to stop it being who I am anytime soon. But yeah, who knows, maybe I talk too much. But I'm glad you enjoy it. I think we should always be open for the Lord to make changes in our hearts and lives. Our convictions must be authentic in order for them to take hold, says the Cult of Khan. Yes, absolutely. Hey everybody, and Paul, hope all are well. I wish I knew how to reply to people. I don't know how to do the tags. You just put @ and then start typing the name and it'll come up and you can click on it. And then you type your message. Easy. Brian Fate just explained it to you. And Joe just reminded everybody, yes, hit that like button, everybody. Come on. Come on. Let's beat the algorithm together. This is a team effort. Go. The Cult of Khan. So anyway, the Cult of Khan, I actually watched your last two Sunday services. I'm one of the listeners. I'm usually there every Sunday listening in. And congratulations on the extra hours at work. Obviously, that was a prayer answered. And my commiserations for the hard work and less time you now have, which you seem upset about. I didn't get a chance to listen to the full one recently. I'll try and finish it off maybe after this show. But I understand, you know, you're going through a bit of an existential crisis and a rough time right now. But my advice would be, what seems bad now will pay off in the future. Like, you know, I worked for 5 years in a job I absolutely hated. But what I learnt in those 5 years, I have carried with me to today. I'm thankful for the opportunities it gave me to learn and to understand. you have been given more responsibility. There's a reason for that. Okay, you might seem lost right now. You might feel like it's a drain on your time, your precious time and resources, when you could be doing more things for the kingdom, for example. You know, but I think God has you exactly where he wants you. And you need to pay attention to what you can learn in this position you're currently in. And if you've been given more responsibility, ask for more. See where it leads you. Because that responsibility builds character. And the more people rely on you, the more you can understand what it means to be a leader. So I'd recommend just going with it. You know, if God opened that window for you, just jump through it and see where it goes. But don't define yourself by your job. Obviously, you're more than that. And don't feel like where you are now is where you're going to be forever. Because it's probably not. You have a great voice. You got the right attitude. I believe you will go far. And I think if you keep doing what you're doing online, if you build it, they will come. It's classic. You know, classic Mandela effect. You know, and I think people will come to you. If you've got people listening already, if you haven't already, go to the Cult of Cons YouTube channel and listen to his work. It's really good. He's an underrated small channel that deserves more. So go check him out. Again, he hasn't paid me to say this. I just know what it's like when you first start out on YouTube. I was thankful for all the help I was given, you know, and that's what it is at the end of the day. We're a community and we need to lift each other up. So go follow his YouTube channel and listen and support, because he says some really great stuff, some really profound things. And I think we can all relate to the things he talks about as well. And it's biblically grounded. So go for it. Yeah, no problem, Call of Con, no problem. It says the wicked foster rebellion against God, the messenger of death will be sent against them. Has this messenger already come, or could this be in our future? It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I think when it comes to Proverbs, hard to say, isn't it? I don't have an answer for that. Much respect, Paul. No problem. RH negative. I don't know why you've mentioned that randomly. Paul has a big heart. Thankfully, I have a normal-sized, healthy heart. If I had a big heart, I'd be very worried with my condition. I think I know what you're saying there. Thank you. I prayed for more clarity about this too. Crazy coincidence. What are your thoughts on people saying that the Bible is coded and there is an esoteric and exoteric version? I would say you're getting a little bit too Gnostic. And I would say that that line of thinking does often tend to lead to futurism, let's say. I don't know. Bad theology. You just got to be careful. You got to be careful. I think we should take it literally as much as we can until we're told to take it metaphorically, if you get what I mean. And I think we should be always edge with caution when trying to offer our own personal revelation from it in some way. But at the same time, what do I know? What do I know? Yeah, we've got to be careful. I just think we've got to be careful. I mean, there's a lot of prophets out there, isn't there, this day and age? And if the little season is where we're living, there are no more prophets. It's over. The books are sealed. Okay? Scripture is written. It's done. No more prophecy. Prophecy ended when Christ returned, was resurrected, and established his millennial reign. That's it. The only thing left is what was written already by John in Revelation, the final Gog-Magog war and judgment at the end of time. There's no more prophecy to be had. And I know people living in the futurist mindset are like, your young men will dream dreams and all these type of things, and the spirit will be poured out and people will have visions and prophesy and all these type of things. But we're past all that. It already happened. You know, and these prophets who have a dream and think they have a message from God that the whole world has to know, is it possible you just had a dream? And you've been watching too many YouTube videos on end times. I know people don't like to hear that. I'm a Christian, you know, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm there, you know. But come on. Think about it. Like, before you go out there and start a cult or a movement or a heaven forbid, a new religion, which has happened, has it not? Looking at Joseph Smith over there and you know, you shall not be named. Otherwise, I'll have the whole community against me. You know what I mean? That we have to be careful, don't we? Picked up just through being in chat with Cult of Con that he has a tender, nice heart. Yeah, yeah. The guy's great. He's been on my channel on the Truth Therapy Sessions a few weeks back. Go check that out if you haven't already. We had a great talk. I wonder if Paul has ever disclosed. He doesn't defy me either, just curious. I don't know what that means. I don't know what you're talking about there. Where does King Arthur's story fit into the saints' stories? I do have evidence of this highly censored narrative, says Brandon Gulling. Well, Brandon, don't speak to me in code or cryptically. Just send your evidence to my email address, understandingconspiracy@gmail.com, and just tell me what you know. Don't make me guess. I hate when people try and make me guess or like say, I have information you need to hear. Are you ready for it? And it's kind of like, shut up and just send me the information and I'll let you know if I'm ready for it or not after I've read it. Don't try and like hype me up for your revelation or whatever it is. Just give me the information. So yes, email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and I'll read it over and see what I think, you know. But I'm that isn't a guaranteed response, by the way. I'm a busy guy with a lot of emails, but I'll at least try and read it. But as for King Arthur's story, Noel Hadley from the Unexpected Cosmologies looks a lot into that history, and it does seem like it's paralleled to the Millennial Kingdom. It seems like it was cut short by the Millennial Kingdom, or it was a response to the Millennial Kingdom from the Druid communities. But then I've also heard people saying like King Arthur and his Round Table was Jesus Christ and his saints, and it's just like a mixed up, paralleled, bastardized version of the same story to cover up what it really was, which was the millennial reign of Christ ruling from Scotland. I've heard this theory before as well, but we don't know. That's just, again, under that realm of speculation to try and find answers to explain these histories, which were supposedly told were real and did happen in the time frames we've been supposedly told from the official historical narrative. But we can't trust any of it, can we? So we have to reinterpret these images and the things we see. Is this why there is a lot of satanic symbolism in our present time, says Patrick? Satan apparently loves to imitate God's ways with a fake, weak imitation. Thank you for your clarity, my brother. You're helping me a lot. Yeah, well, this is Satan's little season. He's going to flaunt his power during this time, and he claims to be the god of this world currently, which he kind of is in a way, but he's not the god of the creation. He's just the god of the earth as we perceive it currently. It's his time, you know, but he didn't make anything. He didn't create the earth he's currently in control of, and that's the final irony of it all. That's the humor, isn't it? It's kind of the hubris and pride is laughable when you really think about it, you know, but he's having his little time. Us RH conspiracy folk are trying to see if can will fit in here somewhere. That's why it's being brought up. Don't focus too much on your blood. Just focus too much on salvation and getting right with Jesus. And you'll be fine. It's too much focus on having the right blood or having the right skin color or having the right culture and all this type of thing. Really, the truth transcends all of that. The only thing that matters is, are you right with the savior of mankind? Do you know Jesus? And are you studying to show yourself approved? You know, are you trying your best to understand God's will and his purpose for us? Forget about the blood. We're all corrupt, whether it's physically or spiritually. It doesn't matter. We're all in need of a savior. Not one man except Jesus is good enough. That's it. So that's why it doesn't matter. Your blood, your positive or negative for the rhesus factor is irrelevant. Doesn't matter. Satan's seasons aggravates me. Me too, Call of Con, me too. I have a lot of questions regarding living in the little season, but I'm so much more joyful now as a Christian. Yeah. You know what? I've just realized I'm going to have so many people out there now after what I've just said, trying to tell me, like, so you're saying the reptilian race doesn't exist? Are you one of them? I can just imagine it already now. Oh, as soon as I said it, I was like, oh no, what have I done? I've opened the floodgates there, haven't I? And it's kind of, look, the wheat and the tares, of course, there's something like that going on. NPC situation, non-playable characters, empty vessels, you know, or whatever, or a hybrid race among us who is not human, who's working against humanity. Yeah, that might be the case, but can you tell the difference? Do you know who those people are and who they're not? It's not for us to harvest. It's to leave to the end and let Jesus do the reaping. Let him harvest. Let him separate the wheat from the tares. Let him make those choices and do that. And do those things. He knows people's hearts. If you're worrying about your RH negative, you're probably not one of them. You're probably not a part of that. It's not your issue. If you're in a they live situation, you're one of them, well, you already know what's going on, more than likely, right? It's one of those type of things. Coffee enemas for liver protection. Lovely. My mind is 40. My 70-year-old body thinks my mind is nuts. Anybody from Kansas City? Not me personally. Have best old world or meltology things to see here. I couldn't help you on that one, unfortunately. God bless you, my brother. You have really cleared my cognitive dissonance. Following the New Age and conspiracy sent me into a spiral of knowing nothing and confused. God equals straightforward, Satan equals confusion. Absolutely. And again, I was in that realm. I understand the confusion it causes. And I'm hoping you can understand as well through my work that it's not going to give you the answers you're seeking. You know, it will make you feel like you have answers enough to keep doing those things and keeping those portals open to the spirits, you know, but it's illusion. It's illusion that the truth isn't confusion. And I know it's easier said than done because we're still speculating about trying to figure this little season thing out. But it's a core thing. It's a gut thing, isn't it? You know when you're living a lie. You know when you're living in a lie. You know when you're being lied to. But you also know when you're sincerely pursuing the truth and you're aligned to that. You can feel it. You know when it's right. And I think that's what having a real faith in Jesus and in the truth in the biblical perspective gives you that understanding, that solid foundation, and the rest kind of falls into place, which is a wonderful thing. Just sent you an email on the 7,000 year timeline, says Rock E. Shepherd. Thank you. Okay, I'll check that out. Let me just check these things here. Let's pause that. Right, so I'm going to start closing down this talk now. I do want to say hello to my new subscribers, if you're listening. I have gained about 11 to 15,000 subscribers in the last week and a half. Mainly thanks to the Parasite presentation that Vitaly from Alpha Talks came onto my channel to do. If you don't know, that hour-long presentation which may have brought you here is literally an hour-long clip from a two-hour show we did about that topic. And that was just the presentation. We did a lot of discussion afterwards and before. So go check that out on my live tab section if you haven't already. It's a very similar thumbnail, but it's got a black background instead of a white background. So you'll probably recognize it when you see it. But yeah, I'd like to welcome all the new subscribers who have come. And it seems like a lot of them have found my other work on the Nephilim Clowns, and they've found my other researching musings on all the other topics, including this millennial reign. And I think the majority of them tend to be happy with what I'm doing and like, and I've stuck around. I haven't like lost a lot of subscribers after. So it seems to quite consistently be going up, which is wonderful. Hopefully this means by the end of the year, we'll hit 100,000. Won't that be something if Understanding Conspiracy actually becomes a 100,000 people channel? And I mean, 65,000 people, which is at right now, is still an incredible number. Like, can you imagine 65,000 people in front of you? Like a stadium, let's say, full of 65. Like, that's no joke of a number. That is a stupid amount of people. Okay. And I guess I don't think about it like that, because I probably get stage fright and I wouldn't do the shows or open my mouth when you actually visualize those things. But can you imagine if 100,000 people are here thinking about and talking about these topics and discover about the clowns and the millennial reign? I mean, just imagine that, you know, that would be something, wouldn't it? So let's see what happens. I mean, it's, what have we got? 5 months? Six? What are we on now? The eighth month, aren't we? So we've got four to 5 months roughly left of the year. I'm losing. It's late. I'm tired. The chamomile tea is kicking in. We've got a few months to deal with, you haven't we, before it's the end of the year. Who knows? Let's see if we can get an extra 35,000 people to subscribe to the channel in that time. And yeah, that'll be definitely something worth celebrating, won't it? That'd be incredible. If YouTube allows it, they don't let truth make it very far. That's true, you know, but I'm pretty good at, you know, playing the game, shall we say. Like, I don't say stupid things. I don't be inflammatory. I try and bring the facts in a way, and I fly relatively under the radar because I don't use hot words or buzzwords or talk about current hot events, which are clearly just bait to get your channel banned. So if you talk about it, you're out. You know, I tend to play the game well enough. I'm going for longevity here. Let's see how far I can get. It's like think of the channel like a paper airplane, and I've thrown it, and I'm just going to see how far it goes before it hits the ground. That's basically what I'm doing with this channel. And, you know, I've got my other backups in a sense. I've got the published work, the books. So I'll always be doing podcasts about that. I've got the Patreon, where I can always release videos on there as well. If you haven't already, you can sign up for Patreon. It's just $5 a month. It gives you access to a plethora of behind-the-scenes work, so you can always go find everything on there, and early access to stuff as well, after-show talks with some of the guests, just a bit of extra stuff, paying it forward for the fans there. Most of the stuff, the long-form interviews that are on there, do eventually get released to the public. I couldn't say when, but it's always nice to have a backlog of videos I can release when I need to go on holiday, let's say. Or when my wife goes into labor, I'm going to need some videos to be released for that month. So it's always good to have a backlog for emergencies and things like that. But you can find a lot of that on Patreon. So I'll have means. Everything will be okay. If the channel did just vanish, I'd figure it out. And I'd land on my feet, no doubt. But it really is down to people like you supporting me that helps me do this. It really is. Like, if you want to see me around to keep doing this as full time as I do, you know, I've got to earn money. I've got to pay the bills. I've got to put the roof on my head. I've got to feed my family. I live in the world. So buy the book. That'll help. That's always a good help. Or join the Patreon. That's always a guaranteed help. But yeah, guys, I've been going for an hour and a half. That might be a good time to stop this now. Thanks to everybody in the chat. Thanks to everybody who's been here today. Thanks to all the new subscribers. Thanks to everybody who's helped me almost reach 1,000 book sales. That's incredible in a month and a half. That's far, way surpassed more than I ever imagined even possible. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Like, I can't thank you enough. I'll be back soon. I do have some guests booked in for Wednesday and Sunday. Let me just see who that is, see if I can give you a bit of a sneak peek, because I can't actually remember, because I am fully booked up every Sunday and Wednesday now till October. But I think I've got... got Stellium 7 coming next month. I was just talking to him. We're going to talk about geobiology. That's going to be fun. And I've got, oh, I'm on with Heidi Love on Wednesday. I'm going on to her podcast, talk about the Little Season. That should be fun. And I'm on the Bondversations on John the Bond's podcast, Bondversations, on Sunday. And we're going to be talking about anything and everything conspiracy related. So that should be fun. I think he's a big podcast. I'm in Australia talking with You're Missing the Point on Friday, and I am talking to ATX Jim on Sunday about the clowns. I am talking with Earnestly Contend for Faith on the 4th. I have Alpha Talks back on the channel to talk about Parasite on the 5th, and he's going to do his gut health and heart of the body and the gut stuff, and we're going to talk about Parasite some more on the 5th, so that's something to look forward to. If you liked the presentation, you came here because of that. He's coming back on, and I'm going to do another big, long presentation and talk about even more information pertaining to that stuff and the demonic elements of parasitical infection, and also the connection of the body to the mind and the soul and the spirit and all that kind of thing. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah, I'm fully booked up. I've got a Let's Get Freaky podcast. I've got Infinite Stories podcast. I'm on with Tony Merkel again on the 18th for the confessionals. Got Stellium 7 on the 22nd. I've got Beyond the Paradigm again. Talk about the clowns on the 25th. I have a dentist appointment on the 27th. But you don't need to know all that. That's just nonsense. And who is that? I've got Mystery Bible on the 2nd of September. And it just keeps going. So yeah, I'm fully booked up, guys. There's lots of stuff coming our way. Lots of live shows every Wednesday and Sunday. And I'll be making videos in between, just randomly sharing my thoughts and opinions. I'll have that AI talking about the Millennial Reign video out soon, hopefully next week. I might record it tomorrow morning and maybe release it on Tuesday. If I don't release it tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday mornings are my time to work and have a few hours where I just to myself in the office to get everything sorted. But yeah, guys, lots to come. So thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. I'm going to leave you with my advert again, because why not? It's my channel. I'll shill if I want to. And thanks for listening. And as always, God bless. Are you tired of the same old conversations? Do you often find yourself struggling to know what to say? Are you over discussing the news, sports ball, or the weather? It's time to put boring discussions behind you by leaving a copy of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns on your coffee table, your toilet, your local library, mother's car, boss's office desk, or that person you really liked's bed instead.
What the hell is this?
Oh, that? Why, it's just a book about how the modern costume of a clown is a caricature of ancient giants and modern demons.
Stay away from my children.
This is a conversation you can't wait to have.
My family used to think I was crazy, but thanks to The Nephilim Look Like Clowns, they know I'm crazy.
The Nephilim Looks Like Clowns. It's no laughing matter.